Greetings, friends. This is Bart Sabrell of Sabrell.com with this week's episode of Box Escape, Thinking Outside of the Box. First of all, I want to thank everybody. You know, when someone sends me a donation or whatever through PayPal, the money definitely helps. I'm not the richest guy in the world. And it's also emotional help. It's like I'm not alone in the struggle to expose the corruption in the world. And so the same with subscribers here. I want to thank you. Yes, I'm trying to support myself here in the Philippines through the internet, and this does help. And I appreciate you participating and paying a little bit to get this content. But it also lets me know I'm not alone. I'm not the only person out there who sees what I see. And that's a great encouragement. Now, as you know from the original Conspiracy Corner News, and World News Report, and now Bart Sabrell's Box Escape. You don't really see me. It's full screen. To be quite honest, I patterned that after a really good podcast that he did the same thing. And so I thought, yeah, why not just show the images? I'm not the important part of it, and that's what I'll continue to do. Now, just a little teaser here. If you go to Subscribestar, and if you want to go up one tier, for an extra $10 a month, that's called End Times Church, and you get to see me, because it's me kind of sharing what I've learned this week spiritually, and quoting a scripture here and there, hope that doesn't offend you, and you see my face full screen most of the time, although occasionally do a screen share, because I think it's important. I'm talking about spiritual lessons I personally learned, and it's important to see the face of a person talking, so you get that along with it, and then the next tier up for $10 more, you get a once a month, 1 hour live Zoom call with me and whoever else is at that tier. Not a whole lot of people. You can bring up any topic you want, share anything you want, ask me any question you want, and that's for only $30 a month. And of course, you get all the tiers before it. When you're at tier two, the End Time Church tier, where you see me during the podcast, you also get Bart Sabrell's Box Escape. And then when you move up from tier two to tier three, you also not only get the unique Zoom participation conversation with me once a month for an hour with right now just a few other people, you also get End Times Church and Box Escape. Each time you move up, you get a bonus plus everything you had before. Just thought I would mention that. So, last week's episode is what to expect next. And what the strange thing is about that, I recorded that in advance and I didn't hear about the bank closures, and they may not have even happened yet at the time I recorded it. And so I thought that's kind of spooky because that's what I see is coming next. Now, one of the things I didn't talk about is why I came to that particular conclusion. There's a gentleman on the internet, Ray Dalio, famous economist, and his YouTube videos must be very expensive. They got graphics and animation and everything. Well, I saw a video from him about 6 months ago or so, and he talked about all the civilizations in history that were the world economic leader and then crashed, world economic leader crashed, and he went through these three or four times. Now, I didn't know this. Maybe it's because I went to public school. But Portugal was one of the world leaders, believe it or not. And once they get to that status, once everybody's got, you know, not back then car, but a good chariot, right? And, you know, maybe ducks, what do you call it? Aqueducts, not plumbing, you know, but they're living good. They got pools and they got servants and they own possessions and jewelry and everything's nice. They want to keep that going. So what they do is they keep printing more money to sustain the economy. But every time they print money, the value of the money goes down and it eventually causes the economy to crash. Then he moved on to the next one. You know, when Spain did that, and when Great Britain did that, when Germany did that. And every single time, the same thing happens. They have a great economy. Maybe they're more entrepreneur or whatever. They want to maintain that, so they keep printing more money, which causes an eventual collapse. One thing he did not say that I noticed looking at these graphs, there's a pattern here. There's a mathematical pattern. Basically, when I looked at his graphs, he didn't notice something apparently, but from the peak of whatever that economy's, you know, was, whatever you consider to be the peak. And there are, you know, whatever that means, the value of the currency's at the highest, or GDP or whatever. Not to the decline, but the peak to the sharp decline. You know, that part in the graph where it starts becoming a cliff. And all three instances of the major examples that he showed, the difference between the peak and not the decline, but the peak and the sharp decline was 42 years on all of the occasions that he showed. I noticed that. I'm zooming in. I'm counting the years. Now, because it wasn't intended to be noticed, or he didn't bring attention to it, maybe didn't notice it himself, I had to zoom in on a video, not a graphic, so I'm not sure whether I was off by a year or two, because it's hard to tell what year it is from a still from a video. So I basically did research on what the economists believe was the peak of American economy. And apparently that was during the Reagan administration. I forgot what year it was, but whatever year it was, and it was even the fall of that year, you see. And so I added 42 years to that, one more year for margin of error, because I couldn't quite count the years exactly. And it came to basically December of this year. And as you know, this last little scenario, hey, I don't even have to use scenario anymore. I can say it. I forgot. I have privacy podcast. You know, the pandemic, the fake pandemic. And I'm going to show you a clip in a minute that just, you know, summarizes it's all fake. And that's not my opinion. It's the opinion of a guy who used to work at Pfizer as the vice president, right? So why are they particularly interested in the pandemic? And why is this crash going to be worldwide, I believe, and not just the United States? It's about controlling the world. They're trillionaires. They have all the money that they want. And they will, I believe, lose money if they go to a one world currency. They don't care. They want control. They have more money than they can ever spend. It will be about control. So the pandemic was about training people psychologically to submit. That's what that was about. And so they're going to do the same, I believe, with a global world crash. And that's to train people. Yeah, you can get your paycheck if you get the shot, if you give up your freedom, if you do this or that. They'll have you buy the proverbial you know, billiard things. And so that's what I think is coming next. Now, you could call this part two of what to expect next. Now, we're going to start by taking a look at the former vice president of Pfizer, his opinion, not mine, about number one, the pandemic is a scam, and number two, that the shots are deadly, and number three, the intent must be to lower the population by a dramatic degree. Take a look at this, him saying it, not me.
Senior principal scientist of the Wellcome Research from 88 to 95, chief scientific officer, allergy and respiratory research, Pfizer R&D, vice president of allergy and respiratory head research, Pfizer Global R&D, CSO and VP allergy and respiratory research head, Pfizer Global R&D, consultant scientific advisory board for Pulmatrix, consultant Apellis Pharmaceuticals, co-founder of Ziarko.
Early on in 2020, we were told there was this new virus emerging from, you know, from China. And I was kind of, I believe what the media was telling me, because, you know, I'm a normal kind of middle class guy. I expect my national broadcaster to largely tell the truth. And so when they got to the point of telling us that we needed to lock down, this was, I guess, in March 2020 in the UK, I remember feeling this is just really strange. I mean, okay, how bad is this that we've got to lock down, and will it work anyway? So I started in the first 3 weeks. We were told 3 weeks to flatten the curve. I don't know if anyone has a hollow laugh at 3 weeks to flatten the curve, but we do. But anyway, after the 3 weeks, two things happened. One is, the peak of daily death had clearly passed in the UK. We could see it falling. And I expected to do that. We could talk about why I was confident. And so I was shocked when the government, after 3 weeks, said, we're going to extend this lockdown. And that my wife tells me, I was raving, running around the house thinking, there's something seriously wrong. The Swedes have got it right. What the hell is going on? Because at that point, I'd done enough thinking to be absolutely certain that lockdowns couldn't possibly work. And it may be a big claim, but I can explain. It's very easy. Everything our governments and their scientific advisors have told us for a year and a half are all lies. All lies. They're not just a little bit wrong. It's not a matter of opinion. I'm going to just take you through the evidence that says the people who are advising my government, I respect as professionals. That means they know everything I know. So when I conclude, it's definitely not true, you know, item X, and we'll go through these items. That means I know they know that too. And that means they're telling untruths deliberately, and we call that lying. So it's not a frightening virus. We're lied to about absolutely everything. I think the objective is to make us receptive to the vaccines, and we should talk about those. And then lastly, where the hell is this all going? The governments give us the impression, and all of their policy responses give you the impression, that this is something like, as nothing has been as bad as this since, say, the First World War, the 1918 flu. And it's simply not true. I started looking at what they were doing for diagnostics, and they were using this PCR test. I'm sure you've talked about it on your program. It's a very powerful technique, but it's not a good technique for diagnosing viral infections, as the inventor, Carrie Mullis, who won a Nobel Prize for its invention, told us repeatedly. It's good at detecting things, you know, a piece of DNA or RNA. But I noticed that I could see that they were being sneaky. You know, the people working in the UK, they refused to disclose how many cycles they were using. They refused to use an internal standard, and they claimed they didn't have samples of the virus. So I just thought, how can you not have an internal standard? And they were using as much amplification as the machines would use, rather than the amount that you should use to work out if infection was present. Every single one of the central narrative points that your government and mine tells you about this virus and what you should do, they're all lies. So I will accuse right now the scientific advisors to my government and senior ministers of mass murder. The thing that really triggered me in the middle of the year was when I was told that people without symptoms can be a respiratory viral threat, a respiratory health threat to other people. Now, I knew that wasn't true. For those of you who think your government has been telling you the truth, when you realize they haven't, it's a horrible shock. They've lied every day, and they've said one in three of us have got the virus and are spreading it without knowing. It's just an utter lie. But there's so much talk about it, the Brazilian variant, South African, the Kent variant, and the Indian variant. People probably get this impression that they're, you know, really quite importantly different, right? You know, otherwise, why would the advisors and the governments and the media be, you know, giving you this big deal about, you know, about the variants? I've looked it up, and no one has contradicted me. So if I'm wrong, you can contradict me after the show. If you find the variant that's most different from the Wuhan strain, it's 0.3% different. In other words, 99.7% similar or more. So I've just told you that two viruses that differ by 20%, the human immune system, that's absolutely no difficulty in realizing that they're both crooks. You know, if you beat one of them, you recognize the cut yep. of the other one's coat and so on. So there's no chance whatsoever. It's not possible that a variant can escape human immunity. And the stories they've been telling you are lies. If you look at the design of these vaccines, every single one of them contains a genetic code for the spike protein, the virus spike protein, the little spike that you see on the cartoon picture of the virus. Spike protein from the 2003 SARS. If you give it to animals intravenously, it causes blood clots. I remember, I was sitting there, I was absolutely horrified. I thought, you've put in this vaccine something that's going to make the person's body make a copy of this spike protein. And I was thinking, well, I just tried, I couldn't really work it out. And I thought, I must have missed something. I thought, I must be wrong here. Basically, this system is going to make a toxin appear inside the recipient's body. I bumped into online a German Thai physician called Dr. Sukrit Bhakti.
Yes.
You might have seen Sukrit Bhakti.
Yep.
That's the guy. And so we were on the phone, I think it was maybe November. So none of the vaccines had been approved at that point. And anyway, we'd had a really long call, and we'd unfortunately both concluded the same thing, that all of these vaccines will cause the recipient's body to manufacture all or part of the spike protein. And both of us thought, there's no way it'll stay in the injection site, because that was what they were saying in the dossiers. We'd read right. part of the Pfizer dossiers, and that's what they said. And we thought, don't be silly, that the muscle of your shoulder is highly vascularized, it's full of blood, that's why it can work as a muscle. Some of it's going to leave, and therefore it'll end up producing spike protein in other parts of the body, could potentially be floating around in the blood, or maybe being manufactured by the cells that line your blood vessels. And I was frightened that it was going to kill people. As a toxicologist, I knew what was going to happen, so it's quite upsetting. It's quite upsetting. And I think they should have been required to do toxicology on it. No one's ever done toxicology on that particular modified chemical. And I just couldn't believe that the regulators were letting them do a trial of, I don't know what it was, 40,000 people. But I thought, you haven't done the basics. How do you know that the actual chemicals aren't going to be toxic? So they didn't study where the vaccine went after it was injected in your arm, and they didn't have to study where it produced the spike protein, how much, how long. They did not need to study them. And I remember, it's almost in tears reading this dossier, because I thought, you've no idea what's going to happen when you hit the people. And it's if you throw a brand new chemical into a human being and you haven't worked out where it goes and what it does and how long, the chances that you're going to get away with a clean profile, nada. It's just not going to happen. These are the most dangerous vaccines ever. A normal vaccine, you take a piece of the dead infectious organism, a dead pathogen, and you mix it with some stuff that will make your body wake up and recognize that it's facing a foe, and you inject it. That's not how these gene-based vaccines work. We've never done this before in history. We've never done this. A new kind of medical intervention with no reproductive toxicology, and that we've gone and given it to hundreds of thousands of pregnant women. It's the height of reckless endangerment, isn't it? We never, ever, ever do this. And then the other thing we said is that basically these are brand new technology and anything could happen. There is no long-term safety. It could be devastating. It literally could lead to an enormous number of deaths. I know some doctors are predicting that, and I would say I am as worried as they are. And it makes you think, is someone trying to kill large numbers of people? And I'm afraid I've come to the conclusion that the only thing that ties every single one of the major observations is that whoever has organized the lies has as an objective ultimately to lead to large numbers of deaths. And what if what's in those vaccines, the third one and the fourth one and the fifth one, is a gene sequence designed to kill you? I don't know, it's not my crime. But if I wanted to set up a system where I could have complete control and with plausible deniability administer over months to years to billions of people something that would injure them and kill them, I couldn't think of a better plot than this one. And I'm afraid there are evil people. There have always been. Look at Pol Pot, look at Nazis, look at Stalin, look at Argentina in the 70s. There are people everywhere over time who have been willing to kill other people to get their way. And all I'm suggesting is that's what's happening now. And the only difference is it's technology rather than weapons. I'm not a religious person, but I decided I was looking into the face of evil.
So there you have it. The pandemic is a scam. The shots are deadly. It is done intentionally to lower the population. Now, the VAERS system, and it's a reporting system of vaccine injuries. And if you read the asterisk down at the bottom, it says as little as 1% are reported. Now, this is from a year ago. Deaths in the United States, 26,000, whatever. So if only 1% is reported, you add a zero, 260,000, add another zero, 2.6 million people have died from the shot. and the numbers of the deaths were obviously inflated. They had a motorcycle decapitation accident going down as COVID. My wife was in charge of the first COVID death in the state of Tennessee. He was already in hospice care, dying of cancer. They called that COVID. Suicide, gunshot wound to the head. They call that COVID because the rigged PCR test makes 95% of the people say they have COVID when they don't. And that's according to the guy who invented the test, who conveniently died of a respiratory illness right before this began. I think it was homicide, my personal opinion. So take a look at this picture over here. We've got independent, you know, news all saying the same thing. Get boosted, get boosted, get boosted, get boosted, get boosted, get boosted. All the same thing. Tricking people into creating fear. You're going to die if you don't get the shot. Now, here's an actual medical report about COVID from doctors statistically studying it, saying it is much more likely to cause death than COVID itself, which, as you may have seen in a previous video, we found a 1989 World Health Organization document which calls the coronavirus the common cold. It just goes into great detail here. It says the analysis is conservative because it ignores the fact that, these shots can kill you much later. But basically it says, according to these doctors here, all age groups under 50 are at greater risk of fatality from receiving the inoculation. And then at one point, one group says people under 80. So they did a statistical analysis, and it's crystal clear, according to math, that the shots are more deadly than even if COVID was real. You see? And then they put the pressure on you with the evening news. And then these are your choices. You got Pfizer, who so far has been fined $4.7 billion for making false claims about the product. Then you got Moderna, who has actually never put a successful vaccine on the market a single time until it's the most complicated one that's never been tried on human history. You can choose that one. Johnson & Johnson. You know, millions of lawsuits about contamination, toxicities in their products, even shampoo. So imagine how toxic something being injected into you could be. And then AstraZeneca suspended in Europe, and there you go. Which bullet would you like, the green one or the yellow one, right? Here's a document that I, uncovered, that someone else uncovered, that basically shows a plan, and I forget where this is, World Bank, right up there. How about that? It's still there. And they say they expect the closing date of the COVID event to be in 2025. Now, why is the closing date then? Dolores Cahill, a famous virologist, award-winning virologist, highly respected virologist, says that these shots are deadly, that they are a depopulation scheme. And it's no coincidence that the people pushing them, Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum, have openly said, we want to lower the population by 95%. So if vaccines are good for you, that would save millions of lives who would then have children and the population would go up. How about that? So Dolores Cahill said that these injections are time delayed so that it won't be obvious that it's the injections that are killing people. They're going to lower your immunity system. Everybody will start dying of cancer, bug bites, food poisoning that they would have normally recovered from. She says they're going to start killing people between 3 and 5 years after they take them. Well, most people got the shot in 2021. The average between 3 and 5 years is 4 years. You add 4 years to 2021 and you get 2025, and it gets even worse. If you followed my podcast before, you know someone uncovered a Pentagon report by a company called Deagle. Now, I've heard of the RAND Corporation and even talked to someone over satellite communication privately with them before. And it's a scary, scary company. This one is so scary and secretive, I hadn't heard about it. And it's Rockefeller Foundation funded, and here's a scan of their original report they have at the time. I think this is the 2016 report. The population of the United States, if you see up here, is 324 million, and their forecast for what year is that again? 2025 is 54 million people. Now, that is pretty darn remarkable. What's going to happen between now and 2025 that's going to cause the population to go by down by what appears to be, I don't know, looks like 85%? I mean, what could that be? These are always 10-year projections, and yet the 2015 report focused on 2025, the 2016 report focused on 2025, and the 2017 report, which we have a full copy of, how about that, still focuses on 2025. This is every single country in the world, believe it or not, every country in the world. It shows their population in 2017, their projected population in 2025, their GDP, their military expenditures, and so forth for every country in the world. Look at this. How about that? And the United States in 2017 at 316 million people. And by 2025, they estimate that going down by about 70%. What a coincidence. About 70% of Americans got a COVID injection. And when you look at every country's population decline in 2025, it's exactly equal to the number of the population that got the shot. Now, how did they do that? Well, they can predict through AI psychological programs what type of people are going to get it and what type of people are not going to get it. Alternative media people, guess what they're going to do? Duh, right? And, you know, hardcore, this and that, whatever group you want to call them, they know their behavior. And these, you know, computers are pretty accurate. So, an interesting note here, I went through some of these countries and I found something really interesting. All of the, quote, Western countries, which is the United States and every country in Europe, and there's a lot of them, those are the ones that show the very steep population decline, exactly equal to the number of people who got the shot. Like if you look up United Kingdom, where the population, much greater percentage got it, you see, 77%. They had higher compliance rates there. And there it is. Now, if you look at the Latin American countries, the Spanish-speaking Central America, Mexico, and South America, they show the population the same or going up. If you look at Asia, they show the population going up. The Western countries show the population going down. Another coincidence. The people in America and Europe got one formula of the shot, and the people in South and Central America and Mexico and all of Asia, China, the Philippines, Thailand, Japan, they got a different shot, you see. They got a non-mRNA traditional vaccine of a dead particle of a coronavirus. It was called Sinovac, right? That's what they gave in Mexico. That's what they gave in China and in the Philippines. But in the Western countries, the ones that demand union wages of $30 to $80 an hour, the ones that demand gun rights, press rights, freedom rights, speech rights, those are the ones that got the deadly shot. If we're going to lower the population, let's get rid of those complainers of, you know, freedom, those expensive laborers, and let's keep the societies that submit traditionally according to culture, don't rock the boat, and of course their wages are about 1/10 to 1/20 of what they are in America and in Europe. This is not me speculating. These are the facts right in front of us in math from the Deagle Corporation that prepared this for the Pentagon, and they're founded by the Rockefeller Foundation. Okay? So that's what we can expect in 2025. Now, one other little thing before we get to the heart of the matter. Here's something from 2001 saying genetically modified food can be used to lower the population. It's just in the planning stages right now, but it could be used for that to help overpopulation. Overpopulation is a myth. It's used by racist people as an excuse to get rid of the people they consider to be inferior. Elon Musk is not an idiot. He says overpopulation is a myth. The whole world's population could fit into the state of Texas. Most people live in cities. Most people live on the coast. Drive anywhere out of a city and there's land everywhere. You see, the world is not overpopulated. That's a lie. What a surprise. The world leaders who said that the shots are good for you are liars. You see, and the world leaders that say that the world is all overpopulated, it's a lie. And what a coincidence. As soon as they introduce GMO into the food supply, fertility rates dropped over time, over 10 or 20 years, by 50 to 65% worldwide. Men's sperm is not as effective as it used to be. And what did the fine print say over here in the GMO corn? It says here, scientists have created the ultimate GM crop, contraceptive corn. It says the pregnancy prevention plants are the handiwork of San Diego Biotech Company, where researchers have discovered a rare class of human antibodies that attack sperm, and they put them in GMO corn. Go to the store and pick up any processed food, and I guarantee you there's a 95% chance it has corn in it. Corn oil, corn syrup, corn starch. Try it. Box of crackers, Ritz crackers, premium crackers, cereal. There's some corn product in there. We're talking about things at the microscopic level. For all we know, there only needs to be one grain of salt of this size and one box of cereal for it to start killing your sperm. That's what GMO is. It's at the genetic level. It doesn't have to be too big. That's why they throw just a little bit of cornstarch, just a little bit of corn oil, just a little bit of this. Or what's the other one? Soy. Soy is the same way. A little bit of soy lecithin, a little bit of soy this, a little bit of soy that, or the canola oil. Those are the top three GMOs, and they're in 95% of all the food in the grocery store. You see that? And that's when fertility rates go down. What a coincidence. So here's really the heart of the matter, and we're already, you know, into it. Why are they doing this now? Why now? When Janet Napolitano resigned from being Homeland Security Director, she had a little Eisenhower-esque speech. Now, a lot of you alternative media people know that on, I think it was January 19th, 1961, President Eisenhower, president for 8 years, said something very significant. He warned the American people that corrupt forces in the federal government are starting to take over. Why didn't he tell us when he was president for 8 years? Why did he wait to tell us his last day in office? Because he was afraid he'd get shot in the head. Because the next guy came along, tried to do something about it, and got shot in the head. But he thought, at least let me warn people, and if I say it in my last day in office, maybe they'll let me pass on that one. And apparently they did. Janet Napolitano comes along, Homeland Security Director for a few years, knows secrets about the future, things that are going to happen, and she feels a little guilty. So her last day in office, she says something pretty clever. She says a natural disaster is on its way that has never happened before in the history of the United States. So, what could that possibly be? You see, there's actually three clues here. Whatever's coming is a natural disaster. Whatever's coming is something that has never happened in the history of the United States of America and the 248 years, however long it's been since we've officially been a country. So it's natural. It's something, a natural disaster that has not happened in America in 248 years ever. And there's a third hidden clue. It's a natural disaster that somehow you could know about years in advance. Now, wait a minute. We've had volcanoes in America. We've had earthquakes. We've had hurricanes, fires, flood. And you certainly can't predict a volcano or an earthquake years in advance. What natural disaster has never struck America that you could know about years in advance? There's only one answer that I know of. Something from outer space. A comet, an asteroid, or even a rogue planet. You see, because of the geometry of the orbits, you can predict those things years in advance to the very day and close to the hour and even close to the minute. Years in advance because of the math. Computers can do that. It's a natural disaster. It's never happened in the history of America, and it's a natural disaster that you can know years in advance, which she obviously did. She said a natural disaster is coming, the likes of which the United States has never before seen. Whoever has to deal with it once I leave office, they're going to need a big bottle of Tylenol. That's what she said word for word. So here's the point of this podcast. I believe that the people who run the world, and the Pfizer vice president believes the same thing, that they are intentionally lowering the population. Now, Dolores Cahill says it's kind of like a time-delayed fuse. So there's, you know, a little chemical reaction going on here. Remember, the GMOs can target your sperm. For all we know, they could target French people. They could target people over 30 years of age, right? Because there's some fingerprinting your cells that tells you how old you are. You see, they could target blonde people if they wanted to, right? So when I heard the vaccine was being rolled out for the first time, congratulations if you're on phase one, I looked at phase one. Well, who's in phase one? You got the elderly. You got the obese. You got the diabetic. You got the people who are handicapped. You got the heart conditions. And then I remember, where have I heard this list before? I've heard this list somewhere before. Who said it? Adolf Hitler said it. These are the people we want to eradicate from society. They're taking all of our money to take care of them, and they're not giving any back. Just like, what was it, the first episode we talked about Hitler. Right? The new Hitler on the stage. Go back to episode one if you haven't seen it, and you'll see that phase one of the injection and Hitler's useless eaters list is exactly the same. They're first going to eliminate the elderly, the diabetic, all those people that are costing them insurance dollars without paying in as much, and we'll whittle it down from here, and we'll cause a time delay fuse so it won't be directly linked to the vaccine. And if we basically cause the vaccine to lower people's immunity, they'll start dying of the flu. We can blame it on COVID too. They'll start dying of cancer. We can blame it on increased cancer rates. What a mystery. They'll die from food poisoning. They may die from an infection that when they cut their finger and didn't wash it. Things they would normally recover of, you see. And she said they're going to start dying between 3 and 5 years, which is 4 years, add that to 2021, which is the 2025 focus of the Deagle report, you see? And so I believe that they are doing this because of a solar system event is coming. Maybe they could stop it, but I doubt if they would. I mean, somehow these people who are doing this, they go to sleep at night after a nice meal. They justify in their minds some way to make this acceptable so they can sleep at night. If they know that a comet or asteroid is heading toward Earth, which could potentially kill half the people on the Earth within 1 year from, believe it or not, climate change, then they figure we're walking dead anyway. And the older people, they're going to die, knock them off first. And the diabetic, they'd have a hard time, you know, without electricity. And the dialysis people, they would, you know, have to die anyway. So let's just target this vaccine to take out the weak, the frail, the handicapped, the obese, the elderly, the diabetic. Now, in preparation for that event, kind of like a controlled burn in a fire, so that you pre-burn, so that when the fire comes, it's less destructive. Meaning, if they realize that this solar system tragedy is going to kill, let's say, half the people on the Earth within a year or so, they figure, why not kill those people now in preparation for that event, leave the strong people left, and it'll be less of a shock on society as a whole. Because they want to travel, they want to go to restaurants, they don't want to live in a bunker with a shotgun and potatoes for the rest of their life unless they have to. And some of that stuff is starting to happen, actually. I know this isn't an official Bible discussion, but the Bible actually says in Revelation in the last days that the kings and the leaders of the earth will go into holes in the ground to protect them from what is coming upon the earth. So what is coming upon the earth, that almost sounds in those words like outer space. Jesus himself said that one of the signs of the last days will be the stars will fall from the sky like ripe figs. If that's not a meteor storm, I don't know what is. Now, a rogue planet is a planet the size of Jupiter, which is huge. You know, Jupiter's like, I don't know, 30 times bigger than the Earth. And it doesn't have a star. It just free floats throughout the universe. They keep releasing these little clues over the last 10 years. Rogue planets are more common than we thought. We estimate there's at least two for every solar system in the universe, right? And there's a really interesting moment in history that I was never taught that Gil Broussard of planet7x.net brought to my attention. He's an astronomer. He's a scientist. And he pointed out that these things in the Bible, these tribulations, could be caused by a passing rogue planet. Now, I got a graphic ready. Imagine, you know, coming upon the earth, people look out over the skyline over New York or Los Angeles, they see the moon, and they see this huge planet passing by. Jesus said, men's hearts will melt with fear for what is coming upon the earth. And you know what another sign is? Jesus said, it's actually quite remarkable. He said, the tossing and the turning of the seas will be caused. Now, the little moon back there is 1/4 the size of the earth, and it causes a 20-foot up and down every day in the tide. So if this thing is like 30 times bigger than the moon, it will cause the tossing and the turning of the seas. It could cause meteor storms, the stars to fall from the heavens like ripe figs. Now, there's something even more to talk about. A few years ago, a particular asteroid was discovered. It's called Apophis, the Apophis asteroid. Well, when it was first discovered, they panicked because the first computer modeling said it had something like up to a 4% chance of striking the Earth on April 13th, 2029. And here's the Terminator, which, you know, they had 9/11 in the background of a Simpsons video about 10 years before 9/11 happened. Here it says Los Angeles, 2029. And guess where this thing is supposed to strike, according to one source? Near Los Angeles in the ocean. You see? Interesting. Same city, same year. What a coincidence, right? And so we have this asteroid that originally they said had a 4% chance. I mean, that's pretty big. That's like a 1 in 25. Then they said a 2% chance, 1 in 50. Still kind of big. And it's freaking people out. They said, oh, no, we got our math wrong. Terrible, isn't it, when great mathematicians get their math wrong by hundreds of thousands of percent, right? Then they said, oh, no, we got the decimal point wrong or something. It's only a 1/150,000th of 1% chance. Well, let me just show you this video here. First, let me, little side note, Apophis comes from the snake, you know, the destroyer, Lucifer. Oh, what a coincidence. Okay, so here's actually, I wanted to show the video, and maybe it's here. Ah, here it is. This is the video I wanted to show. Now, this is the Apophis going by in 2029 around April 13th. But basically, here it is coming by. I want to back it up a little bit. Back it up, back it up, back it up, back it up, back it up. Now, if there's time, and I know I try to keep these things within people's reasonable listening time, which appears to be 30 minutes, and we're already over that. But this gentleman here, I had a near-death experience. Basically, he dropped dead, clinically flatline. He came back to life, and ever since then, he's had dreams that have come true, every single one of them. He had a dream the Pope was going to resign, went on national TV, said the Pope is going to resign. And everyone said, you're going to look like an idiot. It's never happened, and then it happened. Well, this guy, about a year ago, had a dream. He sees this huge rock falling out of the sky and hitting the coast off of Los Angeles. And this huge wave of water comes in over the southwestern United States. He's told in the dream the name of the rock. Guess what the name is? It's Apophis, right? And he calls up someone at the Pentagon. He's a, you know, what do you call it, best-selling author, has some contacts. They say, you know, they're saying it's a 1 in 150,000th of 1% chance of hitting. Is that true? And the guy at the Pentagon says, well, not actually. They don't know for sure. It could hit. They just don't want to say. And the fact is, the computer models are wrong all the time.
Approximately 1 year ago now, went to bed, same scenario, 2 a.m. in the morning, and all of a sudden, I woke up into this panoramic, almost like a film that's playing out in front of me, and I'm in the middle of it. And what I first thought I was looking at was a giant fiery dragon, deep up in space, moving, undulating like a serpent, racing towards the earth. Then suddenly my point of view changed, and now I was up above the object, and I could see that it was not a fiery dragon, but rather it was a giant space rock, an asteroid. And the way it was turning as it was moving through the space in the light of the sun was glistening off of the elements of the stone. It only gave it the appearance that it was moving back and forth. Now, all of a sudden, I'm back on Earth again. And now, I am surrounded by literally tens of thousands of people, and we are on a mountain. And we are running for our lives, and people everywhere are screaming and begging God to deliver them from what is coming. And I turn and I look over my shoulder, and I can see this fiery mountain, basically, this giant rock entering into the atmosphere, burning as it comes through the atmosphere, breaking apart as it comes through the atmosphere. A huge part of it strikes the ocean, a huge part of it strikes the earth, and all of a sudden, the earth is shaking so violently that none of us can stand up. We're all knocked off of our feet. It was the most horrific thing. I can hear this terrible sound as if the earth is literally cracking, like the mantle of the earth is breaking apart. And now I'm looking back over my shoulder again, and this giant wall of water, just an enormous tsunami, hundreds of feet tall, coming up over the top of this mountain. And again, everybody's trying to run. Then these, what felt like large hands, come down underneath my arms and lift me up into space, and now I'm looking down upon the earth. And here's an important part about this entire thing. I'm not a scientist. I don't know what would happen if an asteroid of that size were to impact the earth. But what I saw, I later found to be exactly how scientists describe what would transpire. With the waters boiling beneath this giant burning rock, the aerosol coming up off of that, entering into the upper atmosphere, setting in motion hurricane activity, the second part hitting the Earth, causing a volcano to begin erupting,
filling the atmosphere. You saw is what would actually happen, but you didn't have the knowledge of what would actually happened from a scientific viewpoint, but you still saw it.
And to use street lingo, it freaked me out.
Well,
when I started doing the research, it really freaked me out.
But I'll tell you the thing that strikes me even stronger. You heard a name.
Yeah.
What was the name?
So as this is playing out, I'm terrified. All of a sudden, I wake up and said, I almost fell out of bed on my face. I mean, I had cold chills all over me. I'd never seen anything this vivid or terrifying. I start writing it down, but then all of a sudden, it was as if a voice. I don't know if this was just in my head or if it was an audible sound in the room, but it was as if a voice spoke and it said one word, Apophis.
So I was thinking about this just a couple of days ago, and sometimes when I meditate on something, like I have a revelation, you could say, about it. Either they're lying, they know it's going to hit on April 13th, 2029, and they don't want to go down in history as the next genocidal Hitler. So that's how they can sleep at night. They're going to let Mother Nature lower the population for them. Apophis is about 1,200 feet across, a quarter of a mile, right? A third of a kilometer. It's huge. The one that exploded over Russia was 40 times smaller than this. This is 40 times bigger, right? And you saw the explosive power. This is not a planet killer, but it's a country killer. If it hit off the coast of Los Angeles, it would shut down the United States of America. Millions of people would die on the West Coast, and it would put ash clouds, it would cover the country, and basically it would be the end of the United States of America. Then all that dust would go up in the air, circle the globe, and lower global temperatures by a substantial amount, causing pretty much an ice age to happen. Crop failure, which leads to the death of millions, if not billions, of poor people over the next few months. So theoretically, it could lead to half the people on the earth dying, and that's about what they would like, you see. And so they've got GMOs to help lower the population, and they've got these shots to help lower the population. I believe in preparation for an event, a comet, asteroid, rogue planet, something. Now, either they're lying intentionally. And what a surprise, NASA lies every now and then, right? I mean, if you lie about the greatest event in human history, putting a man on the moon, I don't think you have a problem lying about anything else, do you? Either they know it's going to hit on this date and they're lying, or they really believe it's not going to hit, but they're going to end up being wrong. I would say it's about a 50-50 either way. Meaning there's just as equal of a possibility they really have done the math. They say it's fine. It's no problem, right? It's not going to be a problem. And it's going to be okay. But something's going to go wrong. And I found out that there's, I think, a country, if it's India, thought I had the article here, but they intend on landing a probe on this thing before it comes by the Earth. Not after. Before. Do they not realize how dangerous that is? Okay? If you're leaving Mars on a trip to Earth, and you have to do the rocket in a straight line without moving it ever again. You can't adjust it in flight. Okay. So if you turn that rocket probably 1 millimeter to the left or to the right off of target, it will miss its target thousands or millions of miles away because that distance increases and increases over those great distances. All that to say, if they land a probe on this thing before it comes near the Earth, that's going to impact it physically. And that's going to push it off course the tiniest little bit. How that will be magnified further down the line could be the case. The point is, all these little blue dots are the communication satellites, right? And you'll see this thing gets really close to several right here. And it gets really close to this one up here. Now, my thought is that is so close to that satellite and so close to these satellites. What if, let's say, follow the little yellow line here. What if this is where they miss? It's a tiny miss. What if it hits that satellite and it knocks it down to Earth? It changes the trajectory somehow, some way. Either they're lying intentionally or something's going to go wrong. Because Tom Horn said to his friend in the Pentagon, who says it's going to dip below the communication satellites, that it will hit the Earth. God told him so. He saw it in a dream. His dreams have never a single time been wrong. Now, is this the event they're preparing for, or is this one of the celestial events that they're, you know, preparing for? I don't know. Something is likely going to go wrong in 2025 in a major way. And they're causing economic collapse now to train people to, as gradually as possible, accept incremental steps of what is called soft martial law, which we pretty much already have. You have to be x-rayed to enter a flight. You're pulled over if one of your taillights is out, and you get the third degree if you have, you know, some racial profile on you or in one of your friends that they don't like. We do live in a police state. I mean, they just told us you can't open your business. You can't do this. You can't do that. Now, they said, well, it's for this good reason. It's still a police state regardless of the reason, right? So I think economic collapse is to basically control people more. And they want to control people more and then a little bit more and then a little bit more. And they have more and more emergencies to do it. And I believe it's to get ready for this solar system wide event. Either a rogue planet, also known as Planet X, or it is going to be this asteroid, this Wormwood Apophis asteroid, which is making a very close approach on April 13th, 2029. And this is, I believe, why they're doing the economic collapse, why they have done the COVID lie. It is to prepare for a solar system-wide event. So these episodes, part one, part two, what to expect next, to expect economic collapse next, and lo and behold, a few days after I record that, banks start collapsing. Prices are going to go up even more. Food shortages even more. It's amazing, 100 food processing factories burned to the ground in less than 10 months, United States of America, and no, not a single one was reported in the evening news. I mean, because the CIA is doing it, and they control the news, and they're not going to expose their own crimes. They're doing that to control the food supply. They're doing the economic collapse to control the food supply, which controls the people. Henry Kissinger, still around. I mean, a little bit of an interesting person. He said, you control the food, you control the people. And other rich people, the Rockefeller said, I'm not interested in controlling presidents. I control them if I control the money. So maybe there'll be a one world currency. Maybe they'll cause a crash. Maybe they'll offer complete forgiveness of every debt in the world. Your mortgage, your car payment. You owe your friend $20. Technically, as of midnight tonight, all debts are canceled, the Great Reset. Sign me up. You know, how could you not want that? And maybe all foreign debt, all these nations that owe billions and trillions of dollars that they can never pay back, all that is forgiven. We're going to start afresh. Who wouldn't want that? And then you, okay, you can get that if you accept a one world currency. If you accept, you have to be vaccinated. If you accept, we now tell you where you can live and where you can't go, so forth and so on. So economic collapse, I believe, is what's coming next. And I believe that the COVID scandemic was basically a methodology for lowering the population before a solar system cosmic event, comet, asteroid, rogue planet. You can go to Sabrell.com, scroll down about halfway, and read an article about Planet X that took me 100 to 200 hours to research and write. So this is this week's episode of Bart Sabrell's Box Escape. I wanted to show you more, but I know podcasts for attention span and schedule should really be about 30 minutes, 45 max, and we're already over that. But stay tuned for the next episode, and be sure to maybe give a try at tier 2 or tier 3 so that you can try an interactive Zoom call with me and get to see me speak as I talk about end time events, and some of these secular events line up with the Bible, which makes it all the more likely to be true. So thank you for subscribing, share your friends, and like I said, if you want to give tier 2 or tier 3 a try, I would love to have you on board and see you in a live Zoom call for an hour. Take care, be blessed, be careful, and batten down the hatches for economic collapse and maybe even things worse than that, like a solar system event. Meaning if you're going to relocate to some other place, I suggest outside of the United States, now is the time to do that, when you can sell your home and when you can travel before you can't do that anymore. Take care, be blessed, hang in there, and I'll see you again, the Lord willing, in 7 days. Take care.